How does a technology revolution begin? Sometimes, the spark is lit by a brand new invention, the vacuum tube, the telephone, the airplane. In other cases, the breakthrough comes with the reworking of an existing technology, a change that makes an old invention radically more efficient, more reliable, more useful, more affordable. Thomas Edison did not invent incandescent light, but he developed the first bulb that could be mass-produced and burn steadily for long periods of time. Bill Gates and Paul Allen did not invent the personal computer, but they created the operating system that made the PC accessible to the masses and a software distribution model that made them both very rich. What all these revolutionaries had in common was not just technical brilliance, but a boldness of vision and a cunning sense of the marketplace. Long before their peers, they recognized that history was about to shift in a new direction, in their direction. And they owed much of their success to investors who were equally eager to embrace this vision of the future and help finance it. Consider this. The Edison Electric Light Company was founded in 1878, 2 years before the Wizard of Menlo Park patented his incandescent bulb. At the time, Edison was known mainly for inventing the phonograph, even then a primitive device whose tinfoil cylinders shredded after a couple of playbacks. It was the 8-track of the 1800s. Yet, J.P. Morgan and Cornelius Vanderbilt were sufficiently dazzled by his genius and his promise of an electrically illuminated world, they put their fortunes at his disposal, and it paid off. In 1995, only the geekiest of geeks had heard of the Internet when Marc Andreessen and Jim Clark took Netscape public. Their monster IPO, as much as their pioneering browser, made WWW a household phrase and forever changed the meaning of the word surfing, not to mention the fortunes of thousands of early investors. The Internet we use today has changed the world in a million ways, but its fundamental operating technology was locked in place in the 1970s, a time when water-cooled mainframes spoke to each other by telephone cradle modems, a time when the entire U.S. space effort ran on computers less powerful than we now find in a kitchen appliance. 30 years later, the Internet is constrained by its humble origins. In fact, it's beginning to crack at the seams. But for the past 10 years, the United States has been asleep at the wheel, while Asia and Europe, after decades of playing catch-up, have been quick to seize the opportunity at hand, and it's a doozy. Right now, a few forward-looking governments understand that to own a big piece of the future, a new infrastructure must emerge. At the core of this massive global upgrade is a set of standards called Internet Protocol Version 6, and it will create a global network of truly epic dimension. By allowing trillions upon trillions of unique addresses, IPv6 will allow virtually every device on the planet to communicate online. And not just devices, but programs and even files can be identified as unique objects. Security will be woven into the fabric of every application. Every file, every transaction, every signature, every second of rich media can have its own unique ID. Think about what this means to everything, from the network to the desktop, from secure military communications to secure retail transactions, from medical records to mesh networks to mobile phones to movies. We are standing at the threshold of a quantum leap in global technology, a moment when a few visionary minds light up the future and illuminate a clear path towards immense social and economic opportunity. When history looks back on this time, a handful of people will be able to say they were in the lobby when the new Internet was born. Some of these people will be engineers, some will be entrepreneurs, some will be investors, but they will all share one common characteristic. They will be very, very wealthy. Next time, we'll talk a bit more about IPv6 and what it will mean to content distribution, especially in a world where YouTube and Universal duke it out in the playground. Until then, this is Don DiPietro for Ken Radio.